The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
I think it was like a couple weeks ago, Chris and I and our friends went to that new movie, Breakthrough. Have any of you guys seen it? It's in theaters? Yes, okay. So good. You guys should go see it. Is it still in theaters? I think so. Okay. So you should go see it. It's a really good, clean Christian movie. The acting is good, but it's actually an awesome story. And so I won't give all of it away, but it's about this family and their son who he falls under the ice in the winter, and he's under there a long time before they can rescue him. And it's just the story of rescuing him and then what comes afterwards for their family and just the hardships they face and what they had to go through. It's based on a true story. So I won't give away the ending, but it just really touched my heart because it's something that I've been passionate about for a while, because during this movie, the mom, there are so many daunting things, obviously, that they have to face. You know, the doctors are telling them there's no hope. You know, even some of their friends are saying, like, you just need to give up. There's no hope. Nothing good's going to come of this. And throughout all of it, she keeps saying, like, no, I have faith that God's going to come through. I trust him. And that's what's going on throughout the movie. And it just touches my heart because I feel like so many times God is still wanting to do miracles in this day and age, but a lot of us don't believe it's possible. And we just automatically shut that out. We say that was something that happened in Bible times, and that doesn't happen now in our world. And this woman believed, this mom believed that miracles could happen for her son. And so that's just kind of what is leading me in to what we're going to study tonight, and just how God still works in mysterious ways, and how God is still as active now, if not more than he was in the Bible, because we have the Holy Spirit as well. So if you have your Bibles, if you could go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 9. We are going to go through the whole chapter. So I'm going to start out reading almost the whole chapter. So bear with me, okay? It's not too long. But as we read this, it's a story that we have all read, we've all heard about this blind man receiving sight. And I mean, like I said, I've read this, I don't know how many times I've heard it, but when I read this, a few weeks ago, a month ago, it just like jumped out of the pages to me. And just what happens, there's so many points throughout this study, it was hard for me to fit it all into one message, but I promise it won't be too long. But as I read through this the first time, I want you guys to just kind of picture the story that's happening here. We have Jesus had just left the temple in chapter 8, and they come to this blind man who's, I'm assuming, just on the side of the road. I don't know, but they run into him. And so as we read this, I just want you to picture this story that's going on here. So starting in verse 1, it says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is translated 'sent.' So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, 'Is not this he who sat and begged?' Some said, 'This is he.' Others said, 'He's like him.' He said, 'I am he.' Therefore, they said to him, 'How were your eyes opened?' He answered and said, 'A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, "Go to the pool of Siloam and wash." So I went and washed and I received sight.' They said to him, 'Where is he?' He said, 'I do not know.' They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, 'He put clay on my eyes, I washed, and I see.' Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, 'This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath.' Others said, 'How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?' and there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him because he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." Then they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to him, "Why, this is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sins, and you are teaching us?" And they cast him out. So I want to break this down a little bit, this story. I know that was long, but I want to look at it from two different perspectives. From the perspective of this man who was blind, who can now see, and from the perspective of the other people who are in the story. And so we'll start out with everyone else who was around and saw this miracle. And so in the beginning, these disciples, in the very beginning of the chapter, they asked who had sinned, this man or his parents, because they blamed the blindness of the man on sin. Because to them, suffering is always a consequence of sin, which is something we've been going over in our Bible study. We've been reading the book of Job. Same thing. All these things that Job had gone through, losing his family, being sick, losing everything he had, and his so-called friends came, and they're talking to him and saying, "Well, you must have sinned. You must have done something awful for all these things to happen to you." But that wasn't true in this case. And in some cases, I truly believe that God can use suffering to bring us and others to him. I know that's one of the biggest questions about Christianity is, how does God allow suffering? And I'm not going into that. I don't have an answer for that. Obviously, I don't think anyone does. But I do truly believe that we sometimes put God on a worldly level, on our humanly level, and we don't remember that God is almighty and powerful and created us and created the world and is in control of everything that happens to us and everything that happens on this planet and in the universe and everywhere. And so we have to keep that in mind. And of course, I'm not saying that suffering is easy. I'm not in any way trying to say that. But I'm just trying to say that God does have a purpose. And I believe full-heartedly that anything that happens to us, God has a purpose for it, and he has a reason that he made that happen. Story that comes to mind, of course, a lot of you know that my parents, after they had Megan, they had a boy, Matthew. Before I was born, we had a brother. And when he was just a few months old, he ended up passing away. And there was, you know, they had no idea. It was out of the blue. And obviously, it wrecked my family. But at that time, almost none of them knew God. And none of them were believers. And it was hard. But because of Matthew dying, and now it's almost close to 30 years later, almost everyone in our family is a believer because of him and because of what happened. And at the time, of course they didn't know that. And I'm not saying, you know, that is the sole reason that Matthew died. I don't know. I can't answer that, and we'll never know until we talk to God. face to face. But I do know that looking at that and looking this many years down the road and just seeing that if that hadn't happened, I don't know where our family would have been. I mean, Megan and I probably wouldn't know Christ. Nobody would have in our family. And so that's just, that always makes me think, even if you don't see something come out of what you're going through, you know, a year down the road, 30 years down the road, 50 years down the road. I mean, there's even some people who you may never see the answer to what you're going through, but maybe it's for the next generation. Maybe it's for other family members. You never know why God is doing it, but we have to have faith in that, and we have to trust that God does have a purpose for it. So, and that's where I believe it takes us back to this blind man. You know, he hadn't done anything wrong. His family hadn't done anything wrong, but yet he was still born blind. And he was a man, so that doesn't mean he was young. I mean, he had been blind for a large portion of his life. And so then that takes us to his parents. So the disciples are saying, you know, he must be blind because they sinned. And then Jesus corrects them, saying, no, him nor his parents sinned. So then they talk to his parents. And so if you look at verse 18 through 23, it says, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. So at this point, they're saying, oh, this man who came back with sight, this must not have been the same man. It sounds stupid, but they're saying maybe this wasn't the blind man. So they call the parents, and they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. Now, I want us to think about this. I don't have kids myself, but I can only imagine if your son has grown up his entire life and has been blind, and then all of a sudden this man comes up, you know, tells him to go wash his face, he comes back, and your son can see again. Like, that would be the most exciting and miraculous thing you have ever seen in your life. And I can't even imagine how your reaction to that would be. And this is right at, it sounds like this is right after it happened, because the guy just came back and they see him, they're like, they testify, yes, this is our son. So it's not like they lied about it. But at the same time, they're afraid. And they say, you know, it is our son, but you need to ask him. You need to talk to him. And to me, it's like, how crazy that they let fear come in over this excitement of their son being saved. They wouldn't give any of the details. You know, they were afraid of these people and afraid of these Jews, and they were afraid that their son would be put out of the synagogue. And when I read it, I just kept reading that and thinking, I don't understand. Like, why would they be afraid? But then God kind of spoke to me and said, how many times does fear stop us from speaking of God's goodness in our life? And it's like stabbed to the heart. You know, how many times does something crazy happen that I know for a fact the only way it could have happened is through Jesus, and it was his works and his plan, but yet other people that I know who aren't believers justify it by other random facts or saying, you know, that's not possible that it was a miracle, that wasn't God, I think it was this for this reason. And sometimes we buy into that, which it's not true, but we do. And we're afraid that even if we do know that it was of God and this was a miracle that he did in our life, we're afraid that if we proclaim that, we are going to be shut out. People are going to judge us. People are going to think we don't belong, even though we don't belong here. But we're afraid of that. And I just think, how many times do we fear the rejection of the world over sharing the majesty and love of Christ? There are so many times where I know God has spoken to me and has said just little things like, you know, say this to this person at work, or tell this person this, just randomly, or like you go to get fast food or something, and it's like, tell this person this. And it sounds stupid to me. And I know it's from God, and I know he's telling me that, but I just let the world and these negative thoughts come into my head and say, they're not going to take it well, or they're going to think I'm weird for saying that, or if other people hear me say that, like, I don't even want to think what they would say. Even though we know that if God told us to do something, he will see it through to the end. And that could be something that's going to change that person's day. But I have been too selfish worrying about myself and what other people think that I don't say it. And it's like, how many times have I passed up these opportunities to share the gospel or talk about God to people who want to hear it? I think they don't, but maybe they do, and I don't know that, and I am not the one to decide it. If God tells us to do it, we should be doing it. And so that's where these parents are. They're afraid of the world, and they're afraid of the Jews, and they're afraid of what's going to be said. So now I want to take a turn and look at the man's reaction, the man who was blind. And so his response is a little different. So jumping back a little bit, looking at verse 6 through 11, it says, when he had said these things, Jesus, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some say this is he. Others said he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. So like I said before, if we think about it, he's a man, he's a grown man, so he's been blind for quite a while. It said that he was sitting there, they said, is this the man who sat and begged? So we know he's probably on the side of the road, he's begging. Think about it, if you were blind, you can't see anything for your entire life. You don't know, you can feel things, of course, and you can hear things. You don't know, but you don't know what your parents look like. You don't know what you look like. You don't know anything in the world what it looks like. And this is how he has grown up. Everyone around, this is how they knew him, and this is how they knew this man. So then, this man comes. You can't see him. They say, his name's Jesus. You don't know him, and he just comes up to you. People are talking about you, which is great, like saying, oh, this man must have sinned. And I'm sure he's like, thanks for that. Appreciate it. I'm already blind, but I needed that too. So they stop. Jesus goes over to him. And I'm sure he can hear what's going on. He can hear that Jesus spits in the dirt. And then he hears him mixing it somehow, making this clay. And if you just think about that, how offensive could that be? You know, it was dirt is the dirtiest thing you can get. And then someone spit. That's not clean either. And they know that, especially in this time. So Jesus is taking his spit, mixing it with dirt. Then all of a sudden, you feel this sensation of him putting it on your face, on your eyes. This person that you don't know, and you're aware because everyone was talking about it, so you know everyone's watching you. And we know, you can feel people staring at you. So everyone's watching him. He puts this on his face, and then he says, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I looked at what some scholars think. There were some things that said, so they think that Jesus, since in chapter 8 he was just leaving the temple, it was somewhere around the temple, and they tell him to go to the pool of Siloam, which people estimate it's about 1,000 yards from the temple to that pool. So if you think about it, that's about 10 football fields that he's walking, I don't know, but blind, with this stuff, mud on his face. And then, so not only is that a long distance to walk, but then, again, you feel all these people staring at you, all this judgment, and these people thinking, like, this man is actually doing what Jesus told him to do, like, you really think this is going to work? And in his head, at least to me, if I've been blind to that point my whole life, odds are I'm probably going to be blind the rest of my life. I don't think, he doesn't think the odds are really in his favor for getting to see. But nevertheless, he did it. And he did what God told him, or did what Jesus told him. Because his hopes of getting sight back were greater than his fear of judgment. And I just think, again, am I that strong? How many times am I more afraid of judgment of other people and, people's negative thoughts or negative words that people are saying to me? And that overpowers. But then you have to remember that God took dirt and he took saliva. And this is one of the things, one of my favorite parts of the story, because we know Jesus has the power. He could have healed the man right there. He could have prayed for his eyes. He could have said, Lord, give him sight, and he could have seen. It's not a question of Jesus' power. But yet, he still made this dirt, made this clay, put it on his eyes, and made him walk all this way, go rinse it off before the miracle happened. I feel like God is just saying that God uses our darkest stories. He uses this spit, he uses this dirt in our life to show his light and to give us, you know, a way to see and to give us vision in our life. It's just amazing because you think of our lives and what have happened in the past, and we think of them as like these deep, dark places that we never want to go back to. We don't want people to know about it. We're embarrassed by it. We screwed up, and we want to get rid of it. But God comes to us, and he says, no, I want to take that. I want to dig that out. I want to take what you have hidden away and what you don't want anyone to see, and I want to add my power to it. And I want to mix these things together and form you into the person and creation that I made you to be. And I want to let you see and to give you light in your life. And it's just so powerful when you read that. But we have to be like this man, and we have to trust that God is working in our life. And we have to be willing to go through judgment of others. We don't know what they're thinking. We have to be willing to make this walk and trust that no matter what we're going through right now, Jesus is there, and he is working for us. He's working with us, and he has a plan for what's to come. And so this man is walking in blind faith. And so he goes, he washes. I can't even imagine how he feels. He looks up from this water, and he's seeing everything for the first time in his life. And so he walks back. Of course, I'm sure he's so excited, doesn't even know what to say. And all he knows is that he was blind, but now he sees. He doesn't know all the details. He doesn't even know who Jesus is. He just knows he's this man that came up to him who said, you know, people say is Jesus. So then if you look at verse 25 through 34, I know we're kind of jumping around. Stick with me. Says, he answered and said, and this is the man who was blind that's talking. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. This man, like I said, he didn't know Jesus. He's probably in shock of everything that just happened. All he knew that was he couldn't see, he did what this man told him, and now he can see. And this man believed in Jesus before he had proof of who Jesus really was. But yet, then you have these people who are arguing, these Pharisees, arguing against the law. And, you know, they're saying they're mad, first of all, that this happened. They're saying it happened on the Sabbath, that shouldn't have been happening. God shouldn't have been working, or Jesus, excuse me. But the man's saying, put all of that aside. Like, do you not see what just happened? You are looking at all these, you know, tiny details, but I can see now. But they don't care. The Pharisees, they're trying to find a way, you know, to condemn and convict Jesus. And so they're overlooking the fact that this man's complete life has changed and everything for the rest of his life. And I just think God is simple and the way he acts is simple, but sometimes we make the gospel complex when it shouldn't be. You know, sometimes I think we let the law, quote unquote, the law get in the way and the rules. And Brooke kind of touched on that too, you know, and we get so hung up in following all these rules and doing everything as we're supposed to do, which, don't get me wrong, everything in the Bible is important, and fasting and prayer and all these things are important. But sometimes we get so caught up in following the rules that we completely miss the miracle that God's doing in our life. You know, and that's what this man is saying. Like, who cares if it happened on the Sabbath? I don't care. I can see. not only, you know, I would hope that they would be like, you know what, you're right. Let's, like, he's right. Let's celebrate this. But no, it says that they cast him out because of this, because of their anger and their own self-pity, you know, and wanting to be right and not wanting Jesus to show them up pretty much. But you know what? Our calling in life is simple, that we are to take what God has given us, this clay that he makes and gives us, and trust that that is our anointing. And like I said, you know, we are to take what God is using in our life. And sometimes I know there's some of us who are suffering right now, and we're in a really hard spot, and we don't know why. And it's easy to ask God, why? Why are you doing this? But, you know, and that's okay, but we just have to trust that whatever it is, he's going to use it for the good. And he is anointing us. And, you know, that's what the man said, that he took this clay, this dirt and spit on the ground, puts it on my face when I can't see it, but he was anointing my eyes, and he was anointing this man's life. And that's what God's doing for us, no matter what place we're in. And, you know, sometimes we can look back and just say, like, I see how God took that, and I see how he, you know, intervened in my life and where I am now, and it's awesome. But sometimes we're in that right now, and we're in the dirty part, and we're in the part where God is still mixing all that dirty stuff together. But that's something that we as believers have, is we have that hope. We have that hope that Jesus is with us now, and he's with us always, and everything that's happening to us is part of his plan, and that it is, what we're going through is going to be our anointing. So I just want to look now at the end part that we haven't read. It's verse 35 through 41. And it says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Therefore, your sin remains." And so this man, he had gone through all of this. When all this happened, he didn't know who Jesus was, but he had faith and he believed. And so now Jesus is coming to him and saying, "Yes, you're right. I'm the Christ, you know, and now you see." But that wasn't just physically, obviously. That was spiritually too, because he believed in Jesus and he had blind faith and trusted in God. And I just wonder, how many times are our own eyes blocked by sin or by the need to understand? You know, how many times do we just want a why answer? And we get so hung up on that, like, why is this happening to me? Why do I have to go through this? Why are you doing this? And it's just like, we don't need to know that. God did not create us. We are not nearly as powerful as him, and we don't get to know everything like he does. And sometimes there's sin in our life, too, where we can't even see the truth. We can't see God. We can't see light because we are so caught up in this sin that's right in front of our eyes, and we can't get past that. But we can't let the world blind us and take away our faith. You know, we need to repent of these sins, and we need to be like this man and just know, like, I don't care what other people are saying. I don't care if they understand, and I don't care if I look stupid. Like, we just cannot care about the world anymore. And that's so much for myself. Like, that is a huge struggle I have, is worrying about the world. And I don't know why. It's so stupid. But we need to not let the world blind us. And we just need to keep our faith in Jesus and our trust and know that we have this hope. You know, as Hebrews 6:19, my favorite verse, says, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, both sure and steadfast. And we have to remember that. Many of you know, I had a bunch of surgeries when I was younger. Ended in open brain surgery. I was like in sixth grade. But it was years after that, I don't know, maybe 10 years after, my mom was working for an eye doctor, and so she was like practicing all their little things on me. And you know the one where they like hold up your fingers and you have to tell them which one's moving? So they're doing that. She's just practicing on me. And she's like, "Don't you see my finger moving?" I was like, "No." And she, like, kept moving it. And so anyway, she's doing all these tests. She's like, that's really weird. So she takes me, makes me come to work, of course, with her. And they do this thing called a visual field test where it tests all your peripheral vision around your eyes. And so they found that there's like four quadrants each eye has for peripheral vision. And on the upper right one of both my eyes, like up here, I can't see anything in my peripheral vision. I'm like completely blind up here. I run into trees and stuff a lot because of that. But the crazy thing is, we had no idea about this till like 10 years after. I had no idea that I went blind because of this surgery in that part of my face. And so Mom and I were talking about it the other night, just driving home. It was just funny. And after I dropped her off, it's like God just gave me this thought, though. And he was just saying, how many times have there been miracles right in front of your face, or times that I wanted to work through you and they were right there, but you were so busy looking ahead that you didn't even notice? It was like on the side and you had no idea it was there. That's what it's like. It's like this part, you didn't even notice that you didn't have sight over there until it was brought to your attention. And now, of course, I notice it all the time. But before then, I had no idea. And so it's like, how many times is God trying to work in my life and speak to me, and I am just oblivious to it? And because I'm looking at other things. I'm distracted by other stuff. I'm not paying attention to it. And so I just want us, I want us to bring sight to others through Christ. I want us to be able to bring this sight and salvation to people who don't know Jesus. And we have the power, and we have the power of healing because of the Holy Spirit. We have more than most people in the Bible had because we have the Holy Spirit. And these miracles that are happening, like I said in the beginning, they can happen now. And I've seen them. I've seen the craziest things happen. But we don't see it very much anymore. And I think because we just don't believe it can happen. And we're just blind to that. And we just, I don't know, we just accept what people say. Like, that was in Bible times and it doesn't happen now. And we just have to accept that. But that is a lie from the enemy. And I think that is something that the enemy wants us to believe because he knows we have the power. He can't change that. But he wants us to believe that so that we don't even try. And so I just feel that, you know, it's our job to step out in faith. And just like this man, you know, he didn't have to. When Jesus did that and put that clay on his face, he could have said, no, please take it off. Like, you're embarrassing me. I'm already a beggar on the street. Like, I don't need this. Just please go away. But he didn't. He had faith. And he just thought, I'm sure he was thinking, like, how my life couldn't get any more worse than it is now. So what the heck? And he went with it. But that's our job. We need to step out, and we need to be showing people the love of Christ and these miracles that can be happening, and just that Christ is so active in our lives. And it's like he's sitting right here, and it's like, but we have to turn our attention, and we have to look at him, and we have to ask him to be working in our life, and speak to him, and take the time, and just call on him. During this last song, I just want to challenge you guys, just speak with God, and just, if there is something that you're going through right now, some sort of suffering, and I know there are for a lot of us, I just pray that you can go before God and just say, God, like, help me to see how this is an anointing. Help me to see how this is going to bring light, how this is going to bring sight into my life. And, you know, we may not get an answer right away. I know that. But if we can just go before God and say, Lord, I trust you. I give this to you. I give you this dirt in my life, this saliva in my life. I give this to you. And whatever the reason, I trust that what you're doing is for the good. And I trust there's a purpose to this. And then I also, as a second challenge, if you have any sort of things that you need prayer for, whether that's a physical ailment and you have any sort of pain in your body, or if it's mental, spiritual, emotional, just something that you need prayer for, I pray that you just come forth and ask for prayer. Of course, I'll be up front. I would love to pray for you guys. But I challenge you guys to turn to whoever's next to you, because we all have this power through the Holy Spirit. It's not that God said, I'll give it to you and you and you. It's like, it's to everybody. We just ask for it. And so I pray that we can just, you know, it's a safe place here, and that we pray for each other, whether that's for physical healing or emotional, like I said, spiritual, whatever that is. I pray that we can step out, tell our friends, and just say, hey, can you pray for me? I'm really struggling with this. Because I know God wants to, and I know God wants to heal, and I know that God, you know, like I said, he is using our life and he's using what we're going through. And I just know the stories are going to be awesome. We may not see it right now and we may not see where this is going in our life, but we just trust that in the distance, there is going to be light. And we are going to see this amazing outcome that God has for us. So Jesus, I just pray for everyone here tonight. And I pray for everyone's hearts, Lord. I just feel that there's so much heaviness here that people are having to deal with. And I just pray that you bring peace to everyone and just calmness and just that we can physically feel your presence, Jesus, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that we just can just remember that like this man in this story, we feel blind now, and we feel like there is no hope in the future, that there is no miracle for us, that no one cares about us, that we are stuck on the side while the rest of the world is carrying on, and that people are mocking us, and people are judging us, and people are making fun of us. But God, I just pray that you speak to everyone's hearts and just show us that you are making a creation for us that is going to change our life. And you are constantly shaping us into the person that you want us to be. And that you are anointing us. And it may seem hard now and it may seem hard to believe, but I pray that you give us the faith to believe that and to know that it's the truth. And Lord, we just thank you for being our almighty God. Lord, I pray forgiveness for all the times that I could have stood up for you or I could have shared the gospel and I didn't because of fear. And I just pray in Jesus' name that this fear is lifted off of all of us and this fear of judgment and this fear of the world is taken away. But instead, we know that we have the power of the Holy Spirit and we have the power of you and you are the only one who matters in our life. And your opinion of us is the only one that matters. And Lord, I just thank you for giving all of us a purpose and all of us a reason that we are here. And I just pray that every heart here is blessed. It's in your name we pray. Amen.